Next item on the agenda, item number 14, pursuant to the provisions of the Code of Virginia. Mr. Stagg, handle that one, sir.
Taking off my environmental engineer hat, putting on my oyster leasing ground hat I wear with the commission. So this request is from the Engineering Surveying Department, which is part of the Habitat Management Division. We are requesting commission approval of establishment of boundaries of additional baler ground in Olive County based on a section of the code 28.2649, which basically lists the number of sections of the code previously passed that would remain in effect, specifically in this case, Chapter 294, the Acts of the General Assembly of 1901-02, and that previously leased grounds within this area be terminated in keeping with the Constitution of Virginia, which prohibits the leasing of the baler ground. The site we're talking about is generally located offshore of Day's Point in Olive County. This is the mouth of the Pagan River to the east here and south. This is the James River proper. It does extend along the shoreline past Morgan's Beach. The existing public ground number one in Olive White is offshore here, and you'll see that on the horse ground map in a moment. Again, this is an aerial composite of the area. Generally speaking, the area we're talking about is this general area here, which includes the existing public ground, number one, that was a part of the original Baylor survey, and this additional ground that was approved by the General Assembly in 1901-02. A little closer view, you'll note some shoreline structures here, which I'll address later as part of our recommendation related to this additional ground. There's a lot of info on this map, but what I'll try to do is decipher it for you. This is public ground number one, as surveyed as part of the original Baylor survey. Basically follows this orientation here. We discovered that this section of the code had not been properly mapped on our maps for at least the last 30 to 50 years. I know it wasn't on any of our maps when I came to the agency in 83. But it is referred to in the code, and you actually have to go back to the 1901-02 section 294 of the code to actually get the description. It's not even in the current code. It just refers back to that section. What we attempted to do is take a map that this was based on by Mr. P.C. Warwick, who was a surveyor around the turn of the century. And we were lucky in that that map actually was at the same scale of the current, what we usually plot our oyster ground map. So we could actually overlay it right onto one of our maps.
What was his name, Ben?
P.C. Warwick.
I thought it was Mac Rogers.
No, not quite that long.
Okay.
Almost. The problem we had was most of the original Baylor survey was surveyed from survey marks on the upland, and they actually triangulated with survey instruments even back 100 plus years ago to establish these corners. And we have a Baylor book that basically establishes all these corners by survey angles. Unfortunately, this description in the code was based partially on Mr. Warwick's map, which depicted the existing public ground one at the time that was set aside by the Baylor survey in the 1890s, and some existing oyster leases in this general area that existed at the time that were different than the ones you see here now, different configuration. And some bearings and distances inshore and along the shoreline, which we don't really know exactly what they were based on. They weren't based on any survey stations that we could determine. So what we did was try to overlay these. Well, when you overlay them, we matched the existing public ground here and here and here. But when we did, it skewed this upper end up onto the land. So there's a little bit of discrepancy in trying to even do it that way. But what we've done is try to recreate as close as possible what the intent of the General Assembly was in 1901-02. what we believe happened is after this was set aside, there was some discussion that there was an oyster rock in this entire area, but primarily in this area right here, outside of what had been set aside by Baylor. So the General Assembly basically came in and added this general configuration you see here. What we discovered was is some slight overlaps with some of this older ground that had been leased for years here, but what we tried to do was fit it so that it goes to existing corners, particularly of this old ground that had been leased. Some of this ground, like this lease, was 50 plus years old. Before 1993, there wasn't really any issue, even though we didn't have this mapped, because you could not get new leases in the James River. It was prohibited by code, any new leases in the James River. So this area was not leased, couldn't be leased by code. In 93, that was changed. We still didn't really get any applications in this area because the death rate in the James was, we had a lot of spat set, but as you're probably aware, oysters wouldn't make it to market size before dying from MSX and dermo. We had a big change after 2000 with weather. We believe weather conditions. Oysters started growing out to market size in the James without dying, and we started getting a big influx of applications for new ground in the James, including this area. Now, all these other colored areas you see here are current applications that we still have pending that we haven't surveyed yet, related to that surge from 3 or 4 years ago. Some new ground's been assigned. We got applications for some of this area back in 2005, and we processed it just like we normally do, advertised it, and we got no official objections to it at the time, so a lot of this area was leased. And all this darker area here is our currently leases that we leased since 2005, most of them since spring of this year. There's one that was in 2005, I believe it was this lease here. We heard from the watermen that, you know, this was traditionally worked as a public area. You'll note this little area right here. That was actually a plant done back in the 80s as part of planting seed and shell on this public ground, and they actually went outside the public ground and planted this area pursuant to a law enforcement's direction at the time. Herbert Sadler was in charge, I think, sort of the seeds in James at the time. And so this is not part of those leases. We did not lease this area. We held that because we knew that had been planted and was worked like public ground during public season. But the rest of the area on both sides of it, to the south of it and up to here, do contain leases. Primarily in the Burton family, there is one lease in the name of Sterling. Those two leases right here are bisected by what we're proposing is the public ground line. So they actually extend to the south. Part are in and part are out. When we discovered that, we did some investigating based on, you know, Waterman's concerns about this being, you know, part of the public ground, and we discovered this section of the code that was not mapped. So that's when we attempted to map this. This is what we've come up with. That this is as close approximation as we can get. The code does allow the commission to basically recreate and adjust the Baylor ground based on the best available information. That's what we've done. We deliberately avoided. There was a slight encroachment into this lease. We've deliberately pulled it back so that this old lease that's been there for 50 years will not be affected. Everything else is new leases that are a year or less old. So what we're proposing is that all of these leases that are completely encompassed within this area be terminated effective immediately by commission action. We have notified the leaseholders of this. What we're proposing for these two leases is that if the leaseholder, and with commission approval, wishes to retain these areas that would be outside of this additional area, that we resurvey this parcel and what's left of this parcel into a new plat, re-recorded at no cost to the two leaseholders, and they could retain those areas, and future rent would be based on those two size parcels. We would delete these parts that are in the additional public ground area. You also note that right here is where those breakwaters were in the photograph, and another set up here. There is another section of the code that basically allows for shoreline erosion projects to encroach into Baylor, and it specifically says, if approved by the commission, that we will actually remove those areas out of Baylor. In other words, it will no longer be part of the Baylor ground. It will become part of the shoreline structure, erosion control structure. The description that was in the language of the Act of 0102 basically said straight into what's called Rock Wharf up here and follow being low water all the way down to a point here at Day's Point. So what we propose to do is, pursuant to these were all approved by the commission. At the time, we didn't know there was Baylor ground here because it wasn't mapped. So they were all properly authorized breakwater structures. We're proposing basically to just go around those as you see here. Now, we have not surveyed this line in yet. I've not had the right weather to do that. But we will basically approximate what you see here and propose to exclude those areas. So we'll basically follow mean low water until we get to this first set of breakwaters, go around those, go back to mean low water, offshore the breakwaters, back to mean low water to this point, and then offshore. We are proposing to survey this entire area and stick it up if the commission deems this orientation is adequate. I will make a note that we did receive a letter from the Burtons. It is in your packet in the back of this agenda item. It is not numbered, but it is directly behind 4-1, which is the map that you're looking at on the screen. They did request, while they agree with our actions based on the Code of Virginia and the Constitution, that we cannot lease this ground to them. They are asking for reparations for some seed that they say they moved from the existing public ground as a Baylor survey onto two of these leases. We don't believe that there's anything the commission can do. That's a tort issue that they would have to do. As some of you are familiar with, based on the Murray Hill case from a month or two ago, if they believe they've been aggrieved, then they just need to follow the tort process through the courts. And they can do that through Richmond. So that basically our recommendation is the configuration you see here be approved as additional public ground added to public ground number one, that we terminate all the leases that are entirely encompassed and the portions of the two leases as referenced in the staff recommendation, those be removed also, and then pending contact with the two leaseholders, if they wish to retain those other portions, we will resurvey them. If they don't wish to retain them, they will just become vacant ground and available for application in these two areas here. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Lights, please, Kathy.
Thanks.
Any questions for Ben?
I have a question.
Mr. Holland and Mr. Fox.
I'm sorry. Are you saying everything that you've highlighted in purple is Baylor?
Yes.
And then the white above it, is that Baylor?
That's
also
existing public ground one that was set aside by Baylor that's been mapped properly all along. So that's unleasable area also.
So that whole area right there should be all Baylor ground?
That's correct. The white in this area plus the purple.
The purple,
in this
okay.
area. And this is a shell seed plant inside of the ground and out there.
That's public.
That's public, too.
Yeah.
Mr. Fox,
where are 17476 and 17477, the area that the Burtons have, on which the Burtons have planted the seed?
This is the Sterling lease here. This is one of the leases Burton said they planted ground on, and I believe this is the other one. So even if they did move seed onto this one, some of it could possibly be on the area they could retain. And this is based on the numbers they provided in their letter, but we have no way to document what they really did move off of this ground onto this leased area. But it's these two leases.
Any other questions? I'm sorry, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you. I just have a brief question for counsel. If counsel agrees with staff's assessment, with respect to this letter that's been submitted, in terms of the recourse that the applicant has being limited to a tort claim.
Well, not so much tort claim. I guess it's
or
a tort claim.
Recourse.
It's a claim that needs to be submitted administratively to the Division of Risk Management.
Okay.
Who presumably will then get in touch with the agency and get a recommendation as to whether or not They can authorize payment, but the commission cannot authorize payment.
Thank you.
I would add that the Burton family informed staff in our office that they had harvested $400,000 worth of oysters off of these areas since they've had them leased. That was their statement to one of our staff. So.
All right.
Well,
so there definitely was a rock there.
Thank you, sir. Matters before the commission for action.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Holland. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you so very much.